Take your Bibles and turn to Jude chapter 1. If you get confused with what chapter that is, I would say it's just before 2, but there's no second chapter, so just turn to Jude. Verse number 4 is where we're going to be at this morning. And I know we're running a little behind here, but if you listen fast, I'll try to speak fast, and we'll be out of here before tomorrow morning. Anyway, okay? Well, are you standing where hope is? I hope you are. I want us to be reminded that God is truth and men are what? Liars. That's what the Bible says. So let's take God's word over everyone else's word. Amen. Let's stand as we read one verse this morning as we look at the scriptures. For they are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for your word. Life changes. Matter of fact, from moment to moment. But your word never changes. It is forever settled in heaven. And out of the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse number 4, we hear the warning of those men that would come within the body of believers, deceptive men, and lead your people away. The word even tells us that unless you shorten those days, those last days, that even the elect could be deceived. So Lord, I pray this morning as we look at this scripture, as we try to talk about it this morning, may you anoint me, I pray, as I bring this message. May I this morning speak with the authority of heaven, not from my will, but your will, God. And I pray as I bring the message that the anointing would be in this place in a unique and very special way this morning. For we all need a touch of the Master's hand. For all of us, Lord, are hurting this morning. All of us have needs. All of it is so different and diverse. I just pray, Lord, that your will be done. I pray this morning, Lord, that you be glorified with every single thing that's said. May it be for your glory and your honor that we preach this morning. And I pray I'd preach to your people. I pray this morning as I preach to your people, I'd have compassion on them. And may I have a great passion for you this morning as I bring the message. And may you do only what you're able to do, and that is to lift up the saints of God, draw the lost unto yourself, meet the needs of our hearts today. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, you know, we can all be seated. We know we've been talking about the book of Jude, and it's a very short book, about the one of the smallest books in the Bible. Of course, it's just one chapter. But we know that the book of Jude was written to warn us about apostasy in the church. Now, this isn't apostasy in the last days, as we know that that will happen, but it's the apostasy that is in the church. Matter of fact, evidently it had begun right during the days of the early church, as this book was written only about 30, 35 years after the ascension of Christ, and already the church was being infiltrated by these men that Jude said were men that come in unaware. So I want us to take just a quick look this morning and talk about what exactly that they are leading us to for just a moment. According to the English dictionary, an apostate is a person who forsakes his religious cause, party, or etc. They are really theoretical Christians. In other words, it's just simply they look like a Christian, they act like a Christian, they say that they're Christian, but something is wrong with them. And it is the true born-again experience, being lifted up by God, being transformed by God, being renewed by God. They might be church members, but they're lost church members. I remember going to a conference one year, which was the evangelistic conference, called the East Coast Evangelism Conference. And it was so foggy in there. I mean, the presence of God was in that place that day. There was about, I don't know how many of us in there. Probably that time the church couldn't hold about 1,500 or maybe 2,000. Now it holds much more than that. But that place was packed. Almost, well, they were just sitting room only. Standing people around the walls. It was just packed that day. And those preachers got up there, and God used those preachers. And I thought, honestly, for one moment, I thought God was about to come back. I thought the rapture was about to take place in that building. And then, all of a sudden, God just began to work in the lives of the people that were there, and they began to come forward. A lot of these guys were preachers, church workers, and people on staff at churches. And I remember that day, 51 people, if I remember right, come forward and gave their life to Christ. Some of them were Sunday school teachers, some of them were deacons in the church. And I remember one especially had one pastor that came up, had been pastoring for 12 years and stood before the congregation of almost, well, 1,500 people at least, and said, I have been pastoring for 12 years and I have never been born of God. And he said, today I want to get that straight. I want to get my life in order with God. And he went back home and told his church what he had experienced. Now, I want us to know that there are people that come to church that are not true born-again believers. There are people who come to church for whatever reason. They're good people, but they look like a Christian. They act like a Christian. They talk like a Christian, but they're not really ever born again. I remember doing a revival one time, and this elderly man must have been about 90 years old in the back of the church. I guess that was his permanent seat. He'd been back there 50 or 60 years, sat on the same pew all those years. And I remember bringing the message that night on a lost church members. And at the end of the service, this old man, and it was one of these long churches. It was an older church, long church. And that man come out. He looked about like Mr. Tudball trying to walk. If you don't know who Mr. Tudball is, that's some research for you. But he come along that church. Took him forever to get down that long aisle. I thought, he is never going to get here. Well, he finally gets up there, and I was standing close enough to the pastor. I heard that man say this: I've been in this church all these years, and I never remember ever asking the Lord to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life and save me. I never remember saying that. And I heard that preacher say to him, oh, brother so-and-so, you've been in this church for 50 or 60 years. You're all right. Patting him on the back, said, you're okay. Just have a seat. I thought to myself, are you crazy? At least here's a man that's uncertain because for some reason he's been led in a direction and never been taught the Word of God. And he needs someone to sit down with him and say, this is what the Bible says about believing and faith and what all that means. So there are these men. The Bible says here, Jude says that they come into the church. They're theoretical Christians. They're counterfeits, actually. They're not the real thing. And if you don't know what a counterfeit is, then I got some money I want to give to you and trade for some that you got. And it don't have to be, you don't have to have a whole lot of money, but I'll give it to you anyway. Apostate is someone who forsakes the doctrines of the faith. And they come up with their own ideas about what faith is. They work out their own faith in their own minds because this is the way I think God is. I've had that told me before. Well, I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I think. Well, there's only one issue with that. You're not standing before me to judge you, and I'm not standing before you to judge you. You're standing before someone who knows the very intent of your heart. And he knows your thoughts before you even think. Matter of fact, he knew the intents of your heart before the foundation of the world. So you're not playing with someone or trying to convince someone of something that you don't have when really you've made up the whole thing in your mind, how God is. Well, that don't work with God. God don't accept that. He don't make deals with every individual other than this. You can come to me through my son, Jesus. If you don't come through him, you cannot come any other way. So anything that someone says, well, all you got to do is just join the church and you'll be all right. That is a fallacy of a counterfeit preacher's mind, or a counterfeit teacher's mind, or a counterfeit church member's mind, is that we can come to God other than God's way. That is foolish. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, because they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and foolishness in their hearts were darkened, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and the birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. In other words, we made God out to be something that he is not. Now, I want us to understand this. Our minds cannot contain the glory of God. Everyone that is in the Bible that has come in contact with the glory of God, they feel like dead men in his presence. John, on the day of the vision he had on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw Jesus in his glory walking in and out from the amongst the candlesticks, and he saw the glory of Christ, he fell on his face as a dead man. Encountering the glory of Christ, because here's the difference. We make up in our minds something that is not, and think that I'm all right because I have this vision of who God is. A counterfeit saint is not a saint. We'll call them the ain'ts, all right? They ain't a saint. How's that? That's good English. Isn't that pretty good English? But really, they're just a bunch of counterfeits. They're not real. They're imitations that are made up to look like the real, to be passed off as the real, but they're as invalid as a counterfeit dollar bill. They're as in less value, I guess, than that time, not that Timex, but that Rolex watch I had that time. Beautiful Rolex watch. I like to flaunt that thing. Look what I got. It was gold, had the diamonds for the numbers, you know. They probably had never seen a mine other than maybe some glass. Man, I was proud of that thing. I remember sitting in the church with my arm back behind my wife like this, and that watch out there, you know, it said Rolex. And there was a man sitting in front of me. His watch said the same thing. His said Rolex. But there was a little difference in his watch and mine. My watch went tick, 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 tick. His said, if you don't know the difference in that, Rolex don't tick. They sweep. All right? And the gold's real. And the diamonds on it. I was just like, I had the presidential. His cost $15,000. Mine was free. $15. And a friend of mine who worked with airlines got it for me from Mexico when she flew down to Mexico, brought me back the watch. She said, I thought of you when I saw that thing, and I'm thinking, what, did I counterfeit? But a counterfeit looks like the real thing. It looks genuine. And Wanda told me one time, she said, listen, as much travel as you do, standing in motels and stuff like you do, somebody's going to see that watch and they're going to kill you over that watch that's worth nothing. I never wore that watch to work anymore. I just put that thing away. I said, I've had enough of that particular watch. Get me a Timex that's tore up. Got one little, you know. So counterfeits are real. They're real in life. They're real in the real world. They're real in the spiritual world as well. And this morning, as we sit here, they are counterfeits already in our mind, as we've made up our mind about who God is and why I don't need God and why I don't need to follow God and why I do my own thing and it don't matter, because God don't really matter to me. Oh, it matters to me in my head, but not in my heart. Jesus said, with your lips you say you love me, but with your heart, whoo, you're far away from me. You're just a counterfeit. You're not really real. Counterfeits are deceitful. So there's some deceitfulness in a counterfeit. He said there's certain men. Now, you know, certain men means it's not everybody. Everybody you meet is not a counterfeit. Some are legitimate believers. Some love the Lord with all their heart. Some of them, many, all of them have been born again by the Spirit. But not every church member has been born again. Because God said, Jesus said this out of his own mouth, said, on that day there'll be many who says, I've done many marvelous things in your name. I've cast out devils. I've prophesied in your name. I've done many glorious, wonderful, mighty works in your name. And Jesus said, and I will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So there's counterfeits all around, everywhere we look. So Paul warns Timothy with these words, 2 Timothy 4. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, after their own own deceitfulness, under the counterfeit thought of being a Christian, after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now that's a sad story right there. But even in Timothy's day, at first century church, there was that warning went out, listen, be careful, because men are lovers of themselves. They are lustful of their own. And they are men who will turn from truth and follow a lie. It's bad whenever we as church people had rather follow a lie than to stand up and take the hardness of the truth. We want the easy way out a lot of times. And we say, this is just what I think. Certain men will creep in, they're unaware, and these are powerful men. These are men that have charisma. There are men that can draw God's people to them, and they draw them so they can consume them on their own lust, on their own cares. Why? Because they have left the trueness of the faith, and they have heaped to themselves teachers telling them what's okay and what's not okay. And that the truth is, it's got where church, you can do anything you want to do and still be right with God. That's a counterfeit thought. That's a thought only that the Satan would put in our minds. They slip into churches. They slip into denominational leadership. They slip into the seminaries where they prepare men and women to do mission work and to do ministry work and to pastor. And they teach them wrong truths. They teach them doctrines that lead them away and does not make a sound doctrine for people to build their lives on. I had someone not long ago said, you know, I just don't, a good friend of mine. He said, I don't care about doctrine. I said, well, listen, the whole Bible is doctrine. The faith is doctrine. And the Bible said, we must preach doctrine. Because listen, what is doctrine? I don't care what you're following, it's a doctrine. It's some type of doctrine. It's a doctrine. The Bible says even that they've taken the doctrines of men and made them the doctrines of God. They use the word commandment in King James. But it's the same thing. They've taken what its truth and turned it into a lie so it's easier to follow. It's easy to follow a lie. A lot easier to follow a lie than the truth, because the truth hurts. The truth has a way of getting right into our very heart. And it says here that I'm not what I think I am. That's what truth does to all of us. There's times when I read the scripture, and believe me, that I spend a lot of times reading scripture. I'm telling you, there's times when it just pierces me because it speaks to me and say, this is something you need to take a look at. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long or how righteous we think we are. There's those times when the scriptures cut you to the very core of your heart and you have to stop. Now here's the opportunity we have at this point. Well, we can just go with what I think. We can go with what I want. Or we can go with the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you. The Word of God is hard. Hard. But isn't it funny when we'll say the Word is hard, but listen, Jesus said that if we love Him, His Word is not grievous. It's not grievous to us. Oh, I'll stand the test of time. Think about those from history that have stood the test of time, took on the Word and stood the Word of God when it cost them lives. Even today, the day we live, did you know there's more martyrs for Christianity than any time in the history of the world? In the day that we live in, more Christians are martyred for their faith than any other time in history. Right now. So it's not a thing of the past, it's a thing of the presence. Many of the pulpits are filled with men who stand up and don't take the Word of God at face value. I believe God was able to tell us what He wanted. I don't think we need somebody to interpret this for us. The Bible says that it's not of any private interpretation. It's just talking about it's not for me to decide. It's for the Word of God to decide. Those counterfeit things happen, and it's deceitful. It sounds good. It sounds right. Sure, this is feasible. It certainly makes good sense. So I know that's what it's got to be, and yet the Scripture says different. Then we find ourselves with the dilemma. What must I do? When this country was founded, did you know that the first 100 universities was founded, that 80 of them were founded on this principle, to teach the men of this nation to take the Word of God and propagate the Word of God across this nation. 80 of the 100. Now, let me read you some of the stats here now. Harvard University, the great law school, medical, all the states. Man, if you got a Harvard degree, you're going somewhere in this world. Let me tell you what is no longer their guiding force at Harvard University. For all students at Harvard, when it was founded, had three principles they had to follow. Number one, all students were to consider it the main end of their studies to know God and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Woo, ain't that something? And now somebody says something about Christ in the classroom, and they're idiots. That was their first rule. Their second rule was recognizing that the Lord gave wisdom. Every student was to pray and seek God's wisdom. Number three, every student was to read the scriptures twice a day so they could give an account for their profession. How many of us today know how to defend our profession of faith? Do we know what the Word of God says? Or are we just going through it through hopefulness without our lives built on the foundation of the Word of God? Every one of us should be a student of the Word of God. You don't have to be working on, you don't have to get your doctorate. You don't have to get anything. But we should all be students of the Word of God. Because listen, the Bible says, sanctify the Lord your God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you. We have to defend that faith. And then he says this, Jude says, they were ordained of old. Now that just does not mean they weren't born to do this. That word here, ordained, in this particular passage right here, it means to write something that's been written previously. They were warned over and over and over and over from prophets, from the apostles, and warned them about false teachers, and that's what he's talking about. You've heard it said before. You've been taught before. Remember, Paul said, that when I've told you this one time before, now I'm telling you this again. It was something that had been propagated, something that had been heard, and yet here they were having to deal with that stuff again. And then there's the counterfeit commitment. More people are committed to a false doctrine than they are to truth. Jude said they're ungodly men. Now, let me tell you what ungodly is that you're not like God. For all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how good we are, how good we think we are. Without the grace and mercy of God, without the salvation of God, without being shown to God, by God, that we're lost and undone, we have no hope. They are those that have that appearance, but they're just not the right. Those counterfeits are nice people, good people, generous people, giving people, working people. But when it comes to sound doctrine, they is rotten in the core as a tomato has been laid out open in the pig pen. Rotten to the core. They deny the power of God. He says, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will become lovers of their own selves. Covenant, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. He says, from these people, please turn away. They are counterfeit, but they're committed counterfeits, and they want to draw you into their crowd for their own stomach's sake. We'll talk about that later on. For their own glory. They are glory stealers. They're thieves of the glory of God, because God is the only one who deserves glory. None of us deserve that. May we always give the glory to God for everything that we do. And then there's demeanor, the apostate's demeanor. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Whoo, mercy sakes alive. Everybody knows what lasciviousness is, I'm sure. You do. That's an everyday word that we use. It's called sin, all right? It's called sin. And it... This particular word includes a variety of filth. A variety of filth. Sexual no sexual restraints. Loose, lewd is what the word means. Unjustifiable. Even speaks of drunkenness, adultery, fornication. It's just a word that sort of has a heyday in the sin day. And they say they are taking the grace of God and filling it full of sin. Paul said, listen, because the grace, because we're not under the law, but we're under grace, should we sin that there might be more grace? And he says, God forbid such a thought as that. People who think that way, people who think because I'm saved by grace, I can live like the devil and I'm still saved by grace, or I can live like a counterfeit and still be saved by grace, they are mistaken about what grace is. Grace is not a license to sin. It is the key to delivery. It's the key to delivery, grace of God. It's not about it gives me the power to sin. That would be a foolish man would say such a thing as that. I'm saved by grace, man. You, I'm always saved. Don't worry about that. Listen, I believe that a man's born again of God, they will always be God's child, and ain't a devil in hell can do anything about it. But I know this too. If we ain't careful, we gonna miss because we take the grace of God. Now listen, it will destroy every single effect of good and godliness that you'll ever have on the face of this earth if we take grace and make it lasciviousness. It takes the power of God. They just changed it into immorality. Do we not live in a... Listen, the church is as filled as the world with immorality. No restraints whatsoever. We just think about whatever and we do it. And it's powerful. It is something that is prevalent in the churches today. Where I remember when I was young, my gracious, if you said one word, the whole neighborhood knew it. And the whole neighborhood wanted to whip your backside. And you grew up in country, where they put the back on the sticks, they'll take the back stick and whip you with it too. I know what I'm talking about. I remember a day when the worst member of the community respected the church house, the Christian folks, and the pastors. I remember those days. I remember that lived across the street. He was the one sinner in our neighborhood that didn't go to church. He drank. On Sunday out there farming. I had never heard of such a thing as that as a small boy. But I guarantee you when the preacher walked by, he'd always say, "Hey, preacher, how you doing today? Good to see you." Always respect him. Nowadays, listen, the people in the church a lot of times do not respect the man of God that stands up and brings the word of God. Peter said this, "We shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in that day." That means sin. "Spots that are and blemishes supporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and hearts they have exercised with covetousness. Practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." That's a counterfeit. What do we do? Well, we have to identify those doctrines. Did you know that Paul said, identify those people that are good for you and follow those, but those that harm you spiritually, you mark them, you mark the counterfeits and stay away from them because of the counterfeit doctrines. It takes the real word of God for us to stand in the day we live in. Their doctrines are dead. They're unable to give life. Because when you reject the word of God, when you reject the one and only person that is life, that brings life, how can you have life anywhere? And that's what they do. They deny the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's sad. And they say the same words we say at times, but they do not mean the same. They've not experienced what a true born-again believer has experienced. Since they deny Christ, how can they have life? Because the Bible says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this is the life is in his Son. If we deny the Son of God, how can we have life? We cannot have it. He that hath the Son have life. He that hath not the Son has not life. If he don't live in us, if we don't know his presence, John 17:3, Jesus in his prayer said this. He was praying for you and praying for me. And he says, this is eternal life, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. if we deny the doctrines of truth, we accept counterfeit doctrines. Many in the past were thrown to the lions, burned at stake. Heads were chopped off. They were pulled apart by horses because they would not deny the faith. They stood on a true, unchanging doctrine of the Word of God. So let me ask you, are you following the doctrines of truth or false doctrines? We must understand that our faith has to be built on something that is unchanging. And here when Jude started, he said that we might defend the faith, the one true faith, and that is the faith that Jesus Christ came into this world, died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin, and rose from the dead to give us life. Doctrine matters. Realness matters. Because, see, one day that counterfeit is going to be thrown away and burned up. I remember standing in a Hardee's one day, coming back from Fayetteville. This man, or young man, what did he look like? Maybe in their 20s, they come into Hardee's there, tried to buy some food, and handed the woman a $100 bill. Remember that one? And they looked at it and said, oh, this is counterfeit. We can't take this. Instead of taking the $100 from him because it was counterfeit, they give it back to him. So I watched him. He went to the next little store beside there at Hardee's, went in, tried to buy something with that. Apparently, he come out. That store, they had refused the counterfeit, and he went to another. I saw him go in 3-4 different stores, going in trying to pass off that $100 counterfeit bill so he could get whatever it was he was wanting. And guess what? He was rejected every time. If our faith is counterfeit, if our works are counterfeit, if our commitment is counterfeit, if our hope is counterfeit, guess what? Same's going to happen to us, because we will be turned away because that's our faith. Now, I know Joel Osteen says, as long as you have faith, it don't really matter. Whatever your faith is, that's fine, that's good. You know, that don't really matter. Just so you got faith in something. But no, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his father said, you can't come to me except through him. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. That's why Jude wrote this. He wanted the people to understand who Jesus really was, that Jesus was the real thing. And the faith is the real thing. And that counterfeits will be rejected. And I hope this morning there's no counterfeits in here. I hope we haven't taken the grace of God and turned it into lasciviousness. I hope the power of grace has set us free from such thoughts. Free unto him that gives life. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege of standing and bringing this message this morning. I'm grateful, Lord, for your love. I'm grateful that you are not counterfeit. I'm grateful that when I was deep in my sin, deep in deadness, that, Lord, you quickened me and made me alive unto you. I'm thankful, Lord, that by your grace, you give life to me all them years ago. What a marvelous God you are. But, Lord, I pray this morning that maybe in here there might be some counterfeits. I don't know. You know our hearts. I don't know it. But I do know that everybody in here is hurting. Everybody in here has a need. Everybody in here needs Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that you take the real things and bring them to a new relationship with you. Because we live in a world that needs to see truth. Counterfeit will not do. Only truth and your truth. Help us proclaim the Word of God. I pray there's one here lost and undone today. Maybe they've been church members for many, many years. I pray they'd come today and say, I want to make my calling and election sure. I pray they'd come and hear and experience your great love. Have your way at this time, Lord. I've delivered the message. I only go to the ears. It's you that gives it to the heart. And I pray your will to be done. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Brother Fred's going to come lead us in a song. Stand, the altar's open. Maybe this morning the saints of God that are born again, maybe they need to come and say, Lord, don't let me take hold of a counterfeit. Keep my eyes open so I know true doctrine. And help me to be a student of the Word of God. Because it's only through being a student of the Word of God that we know what the truth is. So come around the altar and say, Lord, help me this morning. But if you don't know Him, if you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you're born of God, you need to make that call and election. Sure.